Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown. Oh, my heavens.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, welcome back for hour number two of Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz, Sean Engel, producing our show, keeping us flying straight. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. And George, just listening to the promos of our show, where we're kind of like joking about the J-Lo and A-Rod engagement and stuff. What about Jose Canseco, man? This guy is a little out there, isn't he? Just see his tweets.
Shut up, Jose. I mean, really? J-Lo, call me if you want to know the real A-Rod. Oh, God.
Here's a tweet from Jose Jose Canseco to A-Rod. Remember when you told me you were man's man, Alex? Show me now how much of a man you really are. Face the truth. Face a polygraph. Another tweet. I challenge you to a polygraph. You are man enough to face me. Jennifer Lopez, I hear you're a very good person. He wants attention, I guess. I'm sorry you're caught up in the middle of this, but the truth has to be told. He's trying to look for every way to get attention, Jose Canseco, from spotting UFOs. He's going to look for Bigfoot. He's challenging A-Rod to fight. He's posting. I don't know. I meant to, just as a curiosity, he posted a telephone number for J-Lo to call. Because what the deal is, he's insinuating that A-Rod is either having an affair with Jose Canseco's ex-wife or something. It's just real crazy. So I don't know.
It's just out there. I mean, like I said, why are you? I don't get why you're putting yourself involved in this. If that's your real phone number, then you're a real moron. You're gonna get gazillion phone calls on that. But I don't know. I just know Canseco. You said it. He needs attention. He craves it, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's a strange dude. I think we all knew that when he was playing too, but maybe that ball that went off his head that one time for a home run in Cleveland.
You remember
that? Really affected him. Yeah, I do remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an old municipal stadium. That wasn't even in Jacobs.
Mm-hmm. I just want to help people. This is Jose Canseco. I have experience in all areas.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't want you to make the same mistakes I make or made. I know where.
When I think of help, I think of Jose Canseco, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is a good example of the dangers of taking steroids, right? It could drive you crazy, I guess.
You would think, right? Yeah, steroids is part of this. No, he's probably still taking them.
What if it's real? What if A-Rod really is cheating on J-Lo?
I'm sure he is.
Shouldn't we step in and try to help J-Lo?
Oh, yeah, because I'm really worried about J-Lo. Like, she can't take care of herself. I mean, I think you have to be if you're married to one of the professional athletes, you have to be kidding yourself if you think they're faithful. I mean, come on the road, they got all these women throwing themselves at them. Even the most guy who starts out wanting to be faithful, I can't see how he could do it. You have to have such incredible willpower. I mean, they are throwing themselves at you. Throwing themselves at you. You remember that scene in Major League where the Charlie Sheen character that was Roger Dorn's wife threw herself at him because she was mad at Roger Dorn? And stuff like that's going to happen all the time, whether players are married or not. They get women throwing themselves at them. And if you could say, no, I'm married, God bless you. But I find that incredibly hard to believe. What are you going for the ballpark? Just to, you can't say I'll go from the ballpark to the hotel and be safe. No, because they're hanging out at the hotel. They know what hotel you're at, and they're hanging out there in the lobby. They're waiting for you. So I said, if you have the willpower, God bless you. But I think, like I said, if you're married to an athlete, you want to play dumb and blind, that's fine. But if you actually think they're three quarters, I would guess, aren't. You know, that's the guess here. Yeah. But I just find it hard to believe, knowing males, how tough that would be.
Good point there. Jose, I'm willing to take a polygraph to prove that what I'm saying about Alex Rodriguez is 100% accurate. I challenge you to a boxing match or an MMA match anytime you want. So interesting, tough. I don't see any response from A-Rod. Looks like he's just ignoring him. But when you mention, athletes and notes. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'm not a big A-Rod fan, but smart of him to just ignore all this stuff. But when you talk about athletes in hotels, and this has nothing to do with, cheating or whatnot, but Brad Ziegler was on yesterday with Greg Sussman and Joe Piscopia. They were broadcasting from the Stewart Hotel with the NFBC, and it was interesting how Ziegler had mentioned that sometimes he would check into hotels under an assumed name. Sometimes he'd check in as Bruce Wayne. he would have sometimes the public reaching out to him at the hotel and actually getting through, on the phone and asking him, for tickets to that night's game. And he's like, well, who are you? So it was really insightful to get, Ziegler's take on what it's like to be a major leaguer. And,
think of the guts that takes, Joe. Calling, a hotel.
Somebody you don't know.
Ask, I'm not, buddy, can I have tickets? I wouldn't ask somebody I did know.
Right.
Somebody you don't know. It's, oh, God. That's got to be infuriating when you get those phone calls from fans asking you for tickets for this. People, it's not like it's a long-lost cousin. You know, people don't even know off the street. Yeah, can I get tickets to tonight's game? Sure, buddy. Sure, I'll give you tickets. No problem. You can go sit in the players' wives section. Sure, I'll let that happen.
Absolutely.
Idiotic here. I mean, really, it's just idiotic.
Yes, I agree. All right, so let's continue breaking down the AL West. We'll move on to the Oakland A's, who are all set. They're in Japan having a good time. I saw Ricky Anderson traveled with the team, signing some autographs, getting lots of attention. But the Oakland A's finished in second place last year, 97-65. They're over under number 83.5. So Vegas thinks that they're going to not going to be as productive as last season. That's a big downturn from 97 to 83.5, George.
I kind of agree with Vegas. I think they're going to struggle somewhat. I think things went right for them last year. I do. Once you look at the starting rotation. It's always how I look at things. Football, I look at the quarterback. Hockey, you look at the goaltender. Baseball, you look at the starting pitcher. And, man, there's not a lot here. I do love Jesus Luzardo. But
me too. We talked about him.
A rookie to come in and be an ace, that's asking too much. It's just asking too much. I think in time he's going to be very, very good. I don't know if that time is this year. I don't. And once again, there'll be an innings limit here of some sort. So you worry about that as well. Fears, okay, nice veteran. He'll give you he'll be above average, but far from an ace. Estrada is what he is. Brett Anderson, he'll break down again. Frankie Montas has some upside. Mangdon, Brooks, Bissett. I mean, this is not a lot here. I said they did it last year, really with mirrors. I do like their offense. I think they can hit. But pitching-wise, I think they're going to struggle. So as far as the over-under here, I think it's right. I still might take the over, mind you, but it'd be a close one. Truth is, I won't bet on it because I think it's about right here. And I think if they suffer an injury or two, it wouldn't shock if the under came in either.
That's a good point. As for Jesus Luzardo, pitched just over 109 innings last season. So what are we thinking? Maybe 130, 140 innings pitched limit on him? Somewhere in that range?
We don't know how we never know how an organization really feels about the innings limit. Some teams, most teams believe in it, but some don't. I don't know which side Oakland falls on here. If you believe in the innings, usually it's a 40-inning bump. So you mentioned 109, that puts you at 150, which means he could be done in August. He could be done in August. Or, and you don't know how teams are going to approach this. all right, around the All-Star break, you can give them almost 2 weeks off. You skip a start there, days off, so you can do that. That buys you more time. You could skip a start. Fair enough, you know, if you put him as a fifth starter, you can skip a start every now and then when you don't need a fifth starter. So once again, extend him later into the season. But then some teams are like, well, that's not good either because then he's not pitching for 10 days. And then you throw him back out there, it could lead to arm injuries. You just never know how these teams, what they believe in as far as what's best for the pitcher. Generally, they are doing what they believe is best, what's best for the pitcher. They want to be healthy long term, but you don't know how they're going to go about it. You know, Nolan Ryan didn't believe in any of this crap. You know, he believed when he was the GM.
He pitched forever.
President of Texas. Right. You just pitch. That builds up your arm strength. Pitch. You know, he wasn't worried about innings limit. So you just never know how a team's going to approach it. But with Lizardo, like I said, I would be shocked if they let him go much higher than 160, 170 at best.
Yeah, yeah. And that's an issue. You're right. Starting pitching is going to be an issue for them. And you're also right about loving their offense, man. Chris Davis, unfortunately, in most leagues, he's only eligible at the utility spot. But when you look at what this guy has done consistently, right? He four straight seasons batting 247, which is but the year before that batted 244. But past 3 years, 42 home runs. 43 home runs last season, 48 home runs, three straight years of 100-plus runs batted in. He was, God rest his soul, Lore's guy, Lore Michaels' guy. He was one of the first guys that I heard on radio that really, was touting him. And it is Tout Wars weekend, so, tip our cap. Rest in peace to Lore Michaels. It was nice they, took some time to recognize him. But anyway, so how do you deal with a guy like Chris Davis who really gives you top home run numbers? And there are only a few people that have 40-plus home run. I mean, there's a lot of guys that could hit you 20-plus, but there's only a few that, you know, you could kind of count on for up at 30 to 40-plus home run power. How do you deal with a Chris Davis, especially since he's only of eligible at the utility spot?
You know, back when David Ortiz was playing, I used to get him in a majority of my leagues because there were certain owners who wouldn't take a DH. They didn't want to clog up the DH spot, which I get. But a great player is a great player, right? I mean, it just is. I am not comparing Davis to Ortiz. They're not the same. They're not the same hitter. But that being said, I'm not giving you 40 plus home runs. You know, with the guy, yes, the average is not going to be super great, but it's not going to crush you either. But a man's consistent. You sort of know what you're going to get from him year in, year out. And this is in a ballpark where the ball doesn't travel. But 48, 43, 42, that's his home run totals the past 3 years. And you know he's going to bat 247 because he's batted 247 for four straight years, which is wicked wild, by the way. Wow. To bat this 247 four straight years. And the year before that, he batted 244. So you know where he's going to bat. You're going to need to make up that average. But unlike some other players, what category is he going to help me in? He's going to hit you 40-plus home runs. That's where he's going to help you. You know, so I'm taking him. You know, there's no doubt I'm taking him. I'd like to get it in round four, you know, and I think that's where I'm going to look for him. David Ortiz, I was always able to get in round five. But I think home runs nowadays are, you know, people are going to take him a little earlier. And you have to know your league. You should be able to know if you're playing a league long time which owners won't take him because of the utility thing. He can't play the outfield, and that's not true in all leagues, by the way. But a majority of leagues, he's only a utility. But there are some leagues that I guess if you have a lower requirement, maybe 10 games instead of 20, you can get him in the outfield, and that would change things. By the way, maybe now you have to bump him up around. So I said, round four, round five is where I want to grab Dave's. I want the home runs. I like the fact that I know what the average is going to be. You know, I'm pretty sure it's about around 247 again. So I'll take that. And I'll make up the average someplace else. But I want those 40 home runs here. I think it's coming again. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. And he's got power to both fields. I like what I know. I love players, Joe, what I know they're going to do. I know it. I can write it down and be fairly certain this is what I'm going to get here. Stays healthy, 42 home runs, bat 247, driving 110 runs. I like that.
Yeah.
There's no speed here. You're not going to get any stolen bases, but I'll take what he can give me very happily.
Yep. His ADP, according to NFBC, is 44. So, I guess right around fourth round, right? And that's what you kind of said. Yeah. Joey Gallo, you know, just getting off the A's for a second. He's got a 99 ADP, eligible outfield and first base. You know, give you 40 home runs, given the full complement of seasons at bats. But he'll bat like 204 for you. You know, so you know, I guess in an OBP league, you know, he might be more valuable. But in a league where you're calculating batting average, using that as a category, I think Gallo, I mean, Davis is still far and away, in my opinion, the guy to take, even though Gallo gives you that multi-position eligibility.
Yeah, I mean, we all know the problem with Joey Gallo. All right, he's going to hit some tape measure home runs, you know, and that's great. But, you know, he's also going to strike out a ton, so points think he hurts, and the average is going to crush you. And I mean crush you. You know, and do you... How desperate are you for that? How much do you need those home runs? You know, and that's a problem. It's just a problem here. I don't mind the player. I don't mind the player. But that's a lot of average to make up. I mean, that's an awful lot of average to make up. Whereas Davis, you only have to make up about 20, 25 points. That's doable. Mm-hmm. You don't even need a 300 hitter to do that. You need a guy with 290s, and you're back to square one here. With Joey Gallo, you need two to three guys now to bat 290, 300. You know, that's an issue. You know, that's an issue here. We love the home runs. You know, if he had something else, Joe, if he stole some bases where he get double digits, okay, I could probably make a better argument here. But if he's going to bat, you know, 207, even 45, 50 home runs, I can't make up that average. I just can't do it.
Well, they're both consistent, Davis and Gallo, right? I mean, like we talked about Davis with the 247 batting average for now 4 years going, and he's consistent with the 40-plus home runs. And Gallo's consistent as well, but for, you know, one huge glaring bad reason where he'll get you a batting average of 210 or below.
Yeah, I just know for me, you know, I'm already in fantasy leagues. I'm going to be behind in stolen bases. So I got to pay attention to that. Make sure I get my stolen bases. Look for stolen bases. If I'm drafting Gallo, look for average and stolen base. You know, now I really got two problems. And odds are my stolen base guy is going to be an average problem. D. Gordon, Billy Hamilton. So that's another average I'm going to have to make up for. You know, and my great players early on, I don't know if they'll be good enough in average. You know, it puts a lot of pressure to when you're building a team here to make sure you're okay here if you keep drafting guys like this. You know, Gallo would only be somebody I would draft as, oh my God, I'm so far behind in home runs. You know, I got to catch up here. Then I can see myself doing it.
Gotcha. Well, for a team that's only expected by Las Vegas to win about 84 games, there's a lot on offense. Players that are fantasy relevant, we'll talk about them when we come back on Roto Experts in the Morning.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to you. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Engel with you until 11 a.m. And hey, we're breaking down the AL West and fantasy-relevant players, taking a look at the over-unders for each team. Right now we're looking at the Oakland A's. Oakland A's finished the season last year 97-65. Kind of surprising, 97 wins. But Vegas Insider has their over-under win total this season at 83.5. We were just talking a little bit about Chris Davis and comparing him to a guy like Joey Gallo. Both of them 40-plus home run potential. Gallo gives you that first base outfield eligibility, but a 210 and below typical batting average for him. And Chris Davis, almost a lock for 40-plus home runs every season. And it's at 247 batting. His batting average has been 247 four straight years. So, you know, you get Gallo at ADP 99 and Chris Davis, ADP 44. I think George and I both agree. We think we'd rather have Chris Davis for the long haul. So let's continue looking at this team. We talked starting pitching needs some work. But, you know, you look across the diamond, they have lots of offense on this team. First base, Matt Olson, 2018 numbers. Ironically, 247 by batting average, 29 home runs, 84 runs batted in. Seventh in average exit velocity last year. Above average fly ball rate, 43%. So, hey, you know, another big home run season probably in his future. You know, 30-plus home runs, probably doable. You're basically looking at just about like a 250 hitter. What are your thoughts on Matt Olson there, George, as a first baseman? Is he could he be a first baseman on one of your fantasy teams? Or for you personally, is he more, you know, quarter infielder?
Well, he actually is the first baseman for my home league. I think I have to draft him. First base is shallow. I mean, it's not like it used to be. I mean, years ago, we had a ton of good first basemen. You could grab them late, and you know, you were okay, you know. Now, I think, look, now you have Goldschmidt, Freeman, Rizzo. And after that, it becomes a lot of question marks. You know, do you think Bellinger bounces back? Do you think Votto bounces back? Do you like Abreu? Is he your next guy there? You know, and it goes on and on and on. There are a lot of question marks here. And what it means to me is, Joe, if I can't get one of the top three early, Rizzo, Freeman, Goldschmidt, almost going in reverse order. Goldschmidt maybe end of round one, round two, Freeman later in round two, Rizzo round three. It's pretty much where they're going. If I can't get one of these guys, then I'm probably going to wait. You know, load up on my other positions and look for one of these first basemen later. Almost where that category fills as far as my first baseman now. What category am I looking to fill later? You know, am I looking for average? Am I looking for power? That sort of thing here. Once again, I keep track of my categories. I know where I'm lacking. So in the league I was just talking about, my home league, I needed power. So I'm banking that he can hit 30-plus home runs. But you could also say here, you know, Muncy, do you believe in him over a full year? Does Carlos Santana have a bounce back here going to Cleveland here? Maybe you want Ian Desmond because they'll give you a mixture of some speed in there. Maybe a couple of stolen bases stolen. You know, maybe for some reason you think Miguel Cabrera is going to stay healthy for 140 games and play well. Maybe you think Edwin Encarnacion will be traded out of Seattle to a good situation. We can go on and on here. And like I said, there's a ton of these guys, but they all have question marks. I mean, I did mention Matt Carpenter, by the way. I would put him at 7 right behind Abreu. So I think he's a guy I wouldn't mind having. Also has some third base eligibility, which I kind of like there. Maybe you believe in Jesus Aguilar. You know, and he's going to have another solid season from Milwaukee here. So, like I said, lots of guys here. Lots of guys. This is why I'm waiting. If I can't get Freeman, Goldschmidt, Rizzo, if I can't get them early, the first three rounds, probably not going for Bellinger. You know, Votto scares me a little bit, although I think he'll be definitely better than he was last season. But I'll wait. I'll just wait till round 9, 10, 11 and take what's left. Take my category filler that I need. And Olsen's a guy I think has upside here, so I do like Matt Olson. But he's a category filler later on for me, not someone I'm reaching for.
Gotcha. Jurickson Profar is a guy that the A's picked up from the Rangers. Top prospect. Basically been riddled with injuries, and that's kind of delayed his, you know, coming of age, we'll say. Kind of like a Swiss Army knife kind of guy, eligible according to NFBC, first base, shortstop, third base. He's probably going to pick up a second base eligibility with the A's this season. George, he had a decent year last year. Let's see what his final numbers were. 20 home runs, 10 stolen bases for the Rangers in 524 at-bats, 254 batting average. Are you confident, based on his pedigree and whatnot, that he could continue to build on that year? Yeah, we talked in previous shows about the A's in terms of they really don't run that much. They're into that analytics, so they don't. Seems that they don't want to take the chance of losing a base runner or whatnot. But Profar, a guy that could hit for some power and steal some bases. What do you think about Jurickson Profar?
Yeah, of course the A's don't run that much. That's Moneyball, right? So that's no shock there. That's Billy Beane doesn't believe in it, which a lot of teams don't. Yeah, Moneyball believes you need to be safe 80% of the time to make it worth it. If you're not, you know, you're not going to be allowed to run. Outs are too precious. They can't give them up. But, you know, I get that. I do. So, and the A's are really built on the home run. You know, they're the Yankees again. Once again, they're built on the home run. That's what they want to do. So, it is what it is as far as that's concerned here. As far as Profar, you look at his, he actually is a very good stolen base guy. He only stole 10 bases last year, but he was not caught stealing. That's 100%.
Yeah.
So you would think they'd be happy about that. But it wasn't a whole bunch of stolen bases. He's not going to steal 20 bases. So I'm not, if you draft him, it's not for that. You mentioned it. He was once a top prospect. I mean, really, it was going to be the next big thing. Injuries derailed it. You know, they derailed it. Now, he'll certainly have second base eligibility because that's where he's going to play. You know, Chapman's got third, Olsen's got first, and Semien will play shortstop. Not that Profar won't see a little bit of shortstop during the season, but he'll have second base eligibility for you sometime in April. I'd be surprised if he doesn't, unless, once again, he gets hurt. So he'll be the Marvin Gonzalez this year, somebody who can play everywhere for you in the infield. I think he'll lose most of that next year because I just don't know if he's going to play enough games at those other positions to help you there. But for this year, he is your Swiss Army knife, and he does have value. Once again, we got to remember, though, he's leaving Texas. That's a bandbox. We know the ball flies out in Texas, not so in Oakland. So I think his numbers are going to take a certain percentage of hits there, specifically the home runs. I don't know if he can hit 20 again, or I certainly don't think he'll go over 20. You know, he'll play more often, so I guess that could help there as well. But he's a guy I'm interested in. I'd like to get him as a middle infielder. You know, I don't want him as a corner infielder. You know, I'd like to get him as my middle infielder, not really a starting starting shortstop or anything like that. Things went wrong for me if he's my starting shortstop. But I am interested in him, Joe, but middle infielder. You know, let him be that utility knife for me that I can have that can cover other injuries. We all like guys who have multiple positions. I loved getting Marvin Gonzalez, even though I don't know where he's playing full-time in Minnesota, at least especially when Sano comes back. But I like guys like that. They cover injuries. It doesn't mean I draft them higher, but it means all things being equal, yeah, I'll take the guy who can play multiple positions. That's smart.
Profar ADP 121 according to NFBC, so you get him 10th, 11th round on average in 12-team leagues. You mentioned Marcus Semien. He's a guy that in the past I had always, you know, let's say if you're missing out on either your shortstop or more likely your middle infielder, a guy that when you look at what he's done, you take away that 2016 season where he hit 27 home runs. He's averaged close to 14 home runs, about 12 stolen bases. He's good for a .250 batting average. You know, that average that I'm giving you is over his past 3 years. But you take away that 2016 season, that 27 home runs is an outlier, kind of a guy that you probably don't want as your starting shortstop in shallower leagues. But in the past, I've always seemed to get him late in drafts. Franklin Barreto is one of the A's top prospects, had been acknowledged as one of the A's top hitting prospects specifically in the past. Hasn't done too much with the small sample size that he's gotten to play in the bigs in 144 at-bats, .215 batting average, .252 on base percentage, and a .424 slugging percentage. He's going to join the A's in Japan as we're getting reps in the outfield. But from what I hear, he might not be on the team's opening day roster. So Franklin Barreto, though, you wonder if he's ever going to get a chance to get every day at bats with this Oakland A's team.
Well, A, there's nothing to see here fantasy-wise for Barreto. I think them getting Profar pretty much told you all you need to know about Barreto. If they wanted Barreto to play, they wouldn't have gotten Profar, because that second base is where Barreto plays. You know, that's where Profar is going to play. So he'll need an injury now to get back in the lineup. So their outfield does have some question marks. It's Grossman, Luriano, who I like, Piscotty, who I really like. But they have some question marks there. So that's really, I guess you can make an argument his best place to play, but he's not an outfielder. You know, so that's easier said than done. So I don't think we're going to see much of him. You mentioned probably not on the opening day roster. I think he'll need an injury to get in there.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Laureano. I like him a lot. Power speed combo. Likely to give you a good, decent batting average. When you look at what he did in 156 at-bats last season, .288 batting average, 5 home runs, 7 stolen bases. Good defensive center fielder. That should keep his bat in the lineup. Had 9 assists, which tied him for most in the AL, even though he played in just those 48 games. I drafted him on my TGFBI draft, which completed recently. Well, what do you think about Laureano?
I think he's a poor man's, a guy you can get later on who could do a damage of a guy who's still drifting around 8, round 9. We're forgetting about him a little bit. So I think he's undervalued. Mm-hmm. The average is plus. And I think it'll remain plus. Got speed, so he'll leg out some hits here. He's got some pop. I wouldn't over a full season, I think this guy can do 20-20. I do. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the 20 home runs is asking a little bit much. Maybe it's more 15-20. But I like what he can give you. As now outfield of 4 here. I'm going for him. Because I can get him late, and he'll help me in stolen bases. So he's the exact kind of guy I'm looking for. Because I know in most of my leagues, I'm going to have problems with stolen bases. I'm going to be down a little bit. So I'm going to need someone who's going to steal 20 bases and plus average. And plus home runs, which I like. All of us I like. It's not taking D. Gordon. He adds me nothing else. You know, Billy Hamilton, nothing else. It's a guy who can help me in other categories. Yes, he's not going to steal the bases. They will. So I may still have to get in Hamilton if I need, 50, 60 stolen bases, which I probably will. But if I'm just playing, I know my team. I know I'm playing for the middle of the category of stolen base. I'm not trying to win it. So I'm not taking Billy Hamilton. I'm not going, I got to get Hamilton, Gordon, Merrifield so I can win the category. I'm not doing that. I just don't want to finish last. I don't want to get 1 point, 2 points, 3 points to stolen bases. I'm hoping to double that. If I can get 6 points to stolen bases, I'm a happy guy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good point. So the A's, 83.5. Do you like that number over under their win total?
I think it's right on the nose. I do think it's right on the nose. It's a good over under. I think if they stay healthy, they can probably go over. If they suffer some injuries, they won't have the depth. They'll go under. I'm not going to bet it either way. I don't feel strongly one way or the other. I think if you force me to and jokingly, you have to bet or I'm going to go there and smite you. You are the fantasy Jesus. Then I will. I'll take the under.
Right. Okay. Since you are the closer guru, Blake Treinen, the man.
Yeah, he's the man. Closer. He's also he's a top tier closer as well. He's the guy you want. Mm-hmm. So he's the man. Right. You're fine with Blake Treinen. You're no worries there.
Okay. Let's move on to the Mariners. 89-73 last season. Wow. Over under win total 71.5. Wow. You chuckle, right?
It's a bad team. I mean, this is a bad
team. It's a bad team. Ryan Healy's going to be their third baseman until May, so that tells you something right there.
It's ugly. It's ugly, right? They lost Kyle Seager. That's why Healy's playing third base. Seager's out until June, I believe, after the hand surgery.
Felix Hernandez has to retire.
Well, yeah, he does, but he's what? You know what? They're going to be a bad team. We all know that. Hell, Seattle knows they're going to be a bad team. That's why they made all the trades, trading Cano, trading, Diaz. They'll trade Encarnacion as soon as they can. Diaz. They'll trade all these guys. And, if you're going to be a bad team, why not let Felix Hernandez start opening day? I mean, really, why not? I mean, do you really have – if you wanted Kikuchi to start one of the two games because it's in Japan, fine. Let him start the second game.
Mm-hmm.
But let Hernan, he's still in your rotation. Not like you're taking him out of the rotation. If you were taking him out of the rotation, then I'm fine with that. But your team's going to be terrible. You know they're going to be terrible. You're planning on them being terrible. You're pretty much tanking the next couple of years. So why not just let him start opening day? Keep that streak going. Yeah. He is a guy who's the fans want. I know the game's in Japan. But still, the Seattle fans want to see. So I would have let him start opening day just for that reason. It's not like people get, people think, the number one starters, they always go up against each other. No. After the opening day, the number ones may never face each other again. Every team has different off days, rainouts, everything gets all screwed up. So who cares? And it's not like, Kikuchi, Gonzalez, Leak, and LeBlanc are anything all that much better. But Kikuchi's got the greatest name. This is going to be going on over and over again. It just bothered me that they didn't let him start opening day here. I guess if they were holding him back to start the home opener, I'd have been okay with that, though.
Right. Yeah, I guess you're right in terms of being consistent. Mariners are going to be a bad team. Felix Hernandez, bad pitcher at this stage of his career. Why not let him start, right? Yeah, be consistent.
Yeah, I guess the fans would have wanted to see it. He's the only guy really in your starting rotation anybody wants. I guess we do want to see what Kikuchi can do, but he's the only guy in your rotation where it really has any kind of name value whatsoever. Everybody else is pretty much a softball pitcher.
Guy's only 32 years old, too. You know, Felix.
Listen, it's a shame he lost it quick, right? He's one of those guys who lost it quick. Think of CeCe Sabathia. Really, the same thing happened. CeCe lost it, but because he's a left-hander, and it took him a couple of years. You remember, he was the Yankees. It took him a couple of years to figure out how to pitch. Right. He had to pitch and stop throwing the 89-mile-per-hour fastball up in the zone and watch it go 450 feet. It took him a while, but he figured it out.
Yep. So this is a bad team, but there's still some fantasy value to be found here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Domingo Santana. I like Mitch Haniger a lot, too. And D. Gordon, second base, outfield eligible, and the guy that, you know, could probably still deliver 30 to 40 stolen bases for you. Dan Vogelbach, is he going to have a role now that Ryan Healy's going to have to play third base? And, the Mariners got Edwin Encarnacion, and as soon as they got him, said they were going to trade him away. Haven't been able to find a suitor, so we'll finish up with the Mariners, then move on. Talk some Angels, some Rangers. You listen to the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, a little headbanging music. Shake the cobwebs out. Hopefully you had a good Saturday night. St. Patrick's Day weekend. It's okay to imbibe a few adult beverages. Just don't drink and drive. If you're having a good time, just, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt the people around you. Just to have some fun. Right, Grouchy?
Is that your PSA for the day?
I guess, yeah. I didn't plan on it being, but yeah. Just rolling with it. I just want to give back a little something.
Well, it's good advice.
Yeah, I think so.
See, I don't drink, so I'm everyone's DD, so look at that.
Designated driver, huh?
Designated driver, yeah. So, and at least I know my family will generally be safe. At least for me, it'll be the only idiots on the road we worry about. But yeah, it's St. Patrick's Day. You know, what do they call it? It's amateur hour out there, so it'll be an interesting day. But, enjoy and just be safe about it. Be smart about it.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I have a good, speaking of driving, I have a good driving story. It's not really fantasy related, but I think you'll find it interesting. So it was in the news the other day. So a driver's pulled over. I don't know what state this is either. Maybe it is Michigan. But what drivers pulled over for speeding, female. Just saying that just for the heck of it. But police officer gives her a ticket for a non-moving violation. He's nice to her, right? He says, all right, I'm not going to give you the speeding ticket, but I got to give you something. So here's a non-moving violation ticket. So she takes the ticket. As she's driving away, she gives the cop the finger. He pulls her over again because he's ticked off that she gives him the finger. This time he gives her the ticket that he intentionally had pulled her over for. He gives her a speeding ticket, moving violation. So then she sues him saying, hey, it's my First Amendment right to be able to express myself by giving you the finger. And she wins. All right. So the court, I think with this got to double check him. I think it was in Michigan. So the court had said, hey, like fits of rudeness or lack of gratitude may violate the golden rule, but that doesn't make them illegal or punishable. So there you go.
He's right. I mean, by it's something I would never do, mind you. Well, even if the cop didn't give me a break, I'm not giving him the finger. What the cop could have done is pulled you over. He could find something else is wrong that you can't
find. Right, right. Like, you know, in the movies, he could take, like, his stick and bust your taillights.
I'm not even talking about that. Well,
I am.
Yeah, I'm not,
I know it's
I'm
not even, it's only in the movies.
Most of us have stuff hanging from our mirror. That's illegal. Any kind of window decals you have, that's illegal. Mm-hmm. You know, they could always find something else. I would never do that. It's just not worth it, taking off a cop. Plus, you mean they can make up crap too. You know, he could say when you pull over, maybe you turn when you pulled out, you didn't use a turn signal. That's illegal,
right?
And you can't fight that. That's why he pulled you over again. He should have done. That's what he should have done if you want to really be a pain in the neck. You didn't use turn signal, whether she did or not. There's no way for her to fight that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, but like I said, just
My story of him using the stick and busting your taillight is more fun.
Yeah, that's the old movies thing. I don't know how true that actually is. I'm sure it happens sometimes, but how often they're actually doing that? Do they even carry nightsticks anymore? Do they just carry the like that baton thing? You know, that it whips out. So
I don't know.
I've never really. I've been. Oh God, let's not go there. I've had my run-ins with the police, but generally, you know, just put my hands on the wheel, take my ticket, and move on.
Yeah. Just chalk it up as a loss and say, have a good day, officer.
It's not like I wasn't speeding. I know I was. But then again, everybody and their mother's speeding. But I said, I just don't. It's not worth the aggravation. You're not going to win the fight. You're just not going to win the fight with the cops.
That's usually the case, yes. But
like argue with the referee. You're not going to win that battle either.
Mm-hmm. She's allowed to give them the finger. But, hey, so let's get back to the Mariners, who finished 89-73 last season. 71.5 is their over-under win total. So it just a few other fantasy-relevant players on this team. D. Gordon, second base and outfield, eligible. I get the feeling that you're not really into him as a guy that'll probably just give you that one category bump, right? The stolen bases. Probably still good for 30 to 40 stolen bases. I was disappointed when I looked at his OBP from last season. Really didn't walk much at all, which you need to get on base to really pump up those stolen base numbers. But how do you feel about D. Gordon?
I have no problem drafting him at the right time. It would probably mean that other second baseman went off the board here and I need stolen bases. I know why I'm drafting him for those stolen bases here. I mean, listen, Altuve, Baez, Merrifield, Torres, Albies, and Daniel Murphy. I'm going to be taking before him. You know, and now I'll be looking at, D. Gordon round 9, round 10, somewhere around. I hope he's still available. If I'm looking at my stolen bases, you know what? I need a second baseman, and I'm down bases. I'll certainly be down bases. The question is that I grab one of those second basemen earlier, then I won't be taking him. Although you can plug him in the outfield as well. Odds are if I take him, by the way, he'll be one of my outfielders. We need 5. He'll be in there. He won't be my second baseman. But I'll be looking at him. And I don't really have a problem grabbing him. Once again, I think we forget as fantasy owners that we need to build a team, not just the best players, not just the best home run hitters. Yeah, we need to build a team. This is why I always find trade vetoes that are crazy. Because we'll veto a trade let's say, July, because it's D. Gordon for I'll just give you a top hitter here. It's D. Gordon for Xander Bogaerts. You know, someone like that. And Bogaerts is a much better player, much better hitter. But people veto the trade because why are they making that deal? It's a terrible deal. Well, no, it's not. In fantasy, it's not a terrible deal because they don't need what Bogaerts gives them. You know, maybe I should have put up somebody more of a home run hitter there. You know, maybe Machado is actually a better thing here. They don't need what Machado gives them, which is the home runs, because they're solid in that category. What they need is the stolen base that Gordon makes. The trade in fantasy world makes perfect sense. But people still veto a trade because they don't see that. They just see the names.
Right.
And they don't realize what the person's going for. That's why I think trade vetoes are idiotic. You know, because once again, no, people also veto it because it hurts their team. Either they do realize it. Oh, I understand why he did it. This is going to be bad for me. He's going to gain points, stolen base, and not lose anything. Veto. Yeah, and that's not what a trade veto is for. That's what trade vetoes in my minor leagues are idiotic. It's pretty much saying you don't want trades. You know, so I hate that. But I know what Gordon is going there for. So if I'm drafting him, I am drafting him for my stolen bases. I don't mind getting him. You have to draft guys like this. Malik Smith has value because stolen bases. Same thing. We're going to talk about him in a little bit. We don't have to talk about him now. He's the same thing as D. Gordon, just maybe a round or two later. You draft him because of stolen bases. Maybe there's some upside with Malik Smith that he could do more than that, but probably not much more. He's going to be also this great player here, but you need to draft a team.
Yeah, that's why when I make a trade offer, I try to make a trade offer and look at what the other team needs. Because like you bring up a point where, let's say if you know, one of my league mates who, first of all, when I try to make a trade, if I'm going to help a team, it's going to be a team that is in no danger of catching me. You know, I don't want to help a team that's already ahead of the standings for me because, you know, I'm trying to catch them. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, we're putting out these trade offers. I like to put out something that is beneficial to both sides. So, you know, you bring up a good point.
Well, you should be doing that. I mean, if I'm going to make a trade with Joe Galina, the first thing I'm going to do is look at your roster. All right, Joe. Listen, he needs a second baseman, and so I look at that. I look at what position you might need. It's like most of us need outfield pitching, and then I look at categories. What categories you're devoid in here, and what categories are you strong in? So I don't want to offer you something. If Joe Galina is in first place in home runs by a mile, he's not going to lose home runs. I'm not going to offer Joe Galina another power guy. Because he's going to be like, wow, no, I don't need this. Especially if it's not out of position he needs. You know, he's got four closers. Not going to offer him a closer. He's just going to say, no, it's a waste of my time, waste of his. You know, so you try and match up. As far as trading with people, I mean, I have no – if Joe Galina is in first place, I have no problem trading with Joe. The question is it going to help my team more than I believe it will help his? That's the question here. You know, listen, Joe's going to get – I think Joe can get 2 points out of this deal, but I can get four. I'll make the deal. And I'm plus 2 points. Mm-hmm. What I am looking for, though, is I want to make sure I'm not giving Joe Galina the final piece of his puzzle. All Joe needs is, you know, an ace starter. I can't give it to him. Even though I think it helps me more, I can't give it to him. It makes his team too hard. Even if I'm gaining the experience, that I won't do. But I don't have a problem trading with people that are catching me or a little bit ahead of me if I think my team gets better here. But as you said, it's so important to make sure. Like I said, if I'm trading with Joe Galina, make sure Joe's going to be interested in the deal. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't care about Joe.
It's got to make sense.
I care about my time, right? And if he's going to say no in 2 seconds, why am I bothering then? I know he's going to say no. Why am I bothering? You know, make a fair offer here. I'm not looking to rip Joe Galina off either. I'm probably not giving you my best offer right away, but I'm not insulting you either. I hate when people do that, and they send me an insulting offer. It's like, really? You thought I was going to trade, you know, a top player for a scrub who's not playing or a guy who just got hurt? Like, I don't know the news. Like, I'm not going to go on, you know, one of the sites there and check the player to make sure I didn't miss anything. That annoys me. I want to win a deal. If I'm making a trade with you, Joe, I do want to win a deal. Of course I do. But I also want it to, in some ways, I want it to work out for both parties. This way, you know what? We'll deal again. You know, down the line, I may need something. I can call Joe Galina. Hey, Joe, you want to work out a deal? And you'll be more into it. I don't know about you, but in most leagues I play in, there are always guys I know, my go-to guys for trades. They'll talk trade. We may not always work it out, but they'll talk trade. Right. You know, we can work it out here. And there are other guys I know in my league, not worth my time. They're not going to deal, or they want to rip you off every time. Or do you have one of these guys in your league, Joe? You trade with this guy. You work out a deal. You know, you go through players after players. You go, you know, paper after paper. Okay, you finally work it out. You're ready to hit accept, and he goes, you know what? I'm not so sure now. Like, that drives me insane when you get that. You just spent a half hour. I mean, literally, you got players. You're writing out players at the players' names. It's a big deal. Looks
you're imagining your roster with the new players. You're excited as
You're happy. You're going to go out and get a slice of pizza afterwards because everything's working well. And then at the last second, he or she doesn't pull the trigger. That makes me – and I got one of those guys in my league every time, and he's one of my best friends. Love him. Tom again, by the way. I know a lot of Toms. So, and he just won't pull the trigger every time. It's like, why did I just waste my time? Because I knew he was going to do it. Knew you because that's his history. He does that. You know, so there are always different guys in the league. You know, guys you can't trade with, guys you can certainly talk trade with, and the guy who won't pull the trigger.
Right. Now, if you get an offer from someone and you know, A, that they know what they're doing, but to you it's obvious that they're hurting their team, will you still accept the deal?
Damn right, not my problem.
Okay, yeah.
No, I mean, listen, if it's in a league, in my home league, just because I, you know, we do this. I've been playing with these guys for 30 years. All right, they don't care that I'm on the Avatar, so mm-hmm. I never that I'm right. They don't. They want to beat the pain, you know, the crap out of me. They don't give a crap at all. So if they make it, what I think is a bad.
Do they know you're in the industry, by the way?
Yeah, I would think most of them do. I don't go publicizing it, but most people know that I'm mm-hmm. I do it. So, but then that's another reason why they want to beat me. You know, it's
you're not like Anchorman where you say, "Hey, I hate to tell you this, but I'm pretty much a big deal."
No, no,
you don't announce
unless
that,
they ask. What I do during the leagues is this: if you ask me a direct question, I'll give you an answer. Mm-hmm. If you ask, you know, Georgia says player A hurt, I'm not gonna lie to you. I will not lie. But if you're expecting mm-hmm. me to throw the information out there, oh, yeah, this guy just took a. Oh no, and I'm not gonna tell you that player A's out for 3 weeks. Do your homework. That's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you, as I said, if you ask a direct question before, my one friend knows, that same guy, Tom, he knows if he asks me a direct question, I'll give you a direct answer. I won't lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel terrible. That's my friends. My guys I've known forever. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to my brother. Oh, yeah, he's fine, Dan. Go ahead. Take him. Great. And, you know, his body's broken in four different parts. I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So ask a direct question, you'll get a direct answer. But I'm not offering you my insight. I'm not going to, you know, mm-hmm. tell you the guys that I'd like. I'm not giving you my draft list here. You know, I want to win. Mm-hmm. It's a money league. I want to win as much as these guys do. We all do. So, but I do try and be fair somewhat because I am the commissioner as well. So I feel like I have to answer truthfully. As a commissioner, mm-hmm. I can't lie. You know, so it's a delicate balance here. Now, there are guys in the league. Once again, these are home leagues. You know, guys are terrible. They're bad players. And even in my home league, there are certain players you know they're going to finish near the bottom. Those guys I might help mm-hmm. out a little bit. You know, those guys, yeah, if they took somebody, especially if it was a player. You know, I don't even care about. No, listen, Kenny, the guy's hurt. I mean, he's out for a month. Can you make another pick, please? You know, that sort of thing here. You don't want to take too much advantage of these guys. But other than that, really, do your homework, folks. I'm not here to help your team.
Mm-hmm. All right, good stuff. good advice from George Kurtz. So as we finish off with the Mariners, they actually have on paper they have a decent outfield. No, I love Mitch Haniger in right field. When you look at what he's done the past couple of seasons, batted over 280 last year, 26 home runs, 93 runs batted in, 8 stolen bases. So I'm liking him to have another good year. Malik Smith dealing with an elbow issue, supposedly will be ready for opening day. So just hoping that, you know, that no further complications from that. And Domingo Santana, a year removed from a 30 home run season with the Brewers. Very good spring. Do you like him, George? Do you think that he could bounce back from last year?
Well, he's not playing Milwaukee anymore. In Milwaukee, the ball flies out, and Seattle mm-hmm. it won't. I also wonder this. Hanage's going to play every day. Right, he's going to play every day.
Yes.
He's like I said, good outfielder. Now, Alex Smith's really your only center fielder, so he's going to play every day. Does that mean Santana and Bruce are in a timeshare, especially if Healy's going to play first base and Encarnacion's the DH? Encarnacion's mm-hmm. going to play every day because they want to trade him. So they want to build up his trade value. Right? So he has to play every day. So I think that could lead to Santana and Bruce in a timeshare, you know, platooning. And Santana could be on the wrong side of that timeshare because you got to think they want to trade Jay Bruce as well. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. they're going to want to move him to a team here. So that's the only thing I'm worried about Santana. I like the fact he's going to get an opportunity, or I thought he was going to get an opportunity. Now I don't. I think at least one trade has to happen here for him to get that opportunity. Yeah. I think Vogelbach, who you mentioned earlier, has the same problem. You know, he'll need
it.
If I think they're going to keep moving things around. Encarnacion might play a little bit of first base to open up the DH spot for Bruce. You know, they can be moved mm-hmm. around like that. Seattle's not playing to win games. They're not. They're playing to move these players, which is what they should be doing, to get as much value mm-hmm. out of Bruce as they can, as much value out of Encarnacion as they can. If Seager would have been healthy, it would have been the same situation with him, to try and move him as well.
Mm. All right, good stuff. Look, Dire Straits taking us out. Money's for nothing.
Great video.
When we come back, continue breaking down the AL West, trying to move to the NL East. Listen to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.